Hey everybody, Josh Searson of World Alternative Media here, and of course we are joined by Tim Picciotte of the Liberty Advisor once again here at WAM. And the Fed came out with a bit of a memo today with outlook on 2020. I wanted to go into some of what they talked about because it has dramatically affected the dollar, as this Zero Hedge article says. Dollar dumps to 5-month lows as stocks, bonds jump on Fed fold. And as the article goes into, the Fed officially capitulated, removing any expectations for rate changes until the end of 2020 at the earliest, which sparked initial weakness in the dollar, dumping it to 5-month lows. But when Powell admitted he would consider bond purchases, not just bill purchases, the dollar and treasury yields tumbled. Stocks were broadly higher on the day, though small caps lagged. The S&P dived briefly in the last few minutes on Navarro comments, but bounced off VWAP. Treasury yields tumbled across the entire curve by 4 to 5 basis points. The belly was a modest outperformer, and the yield curve is tumbling. Today was the biggest drop in the dollar in 2 months, down 8 of the last 9 days. Cable round-tripped yesterday's Johnson might not win by a mile fears, as the latest polls suggested that he will. With the most hedging since the referendum vote, Yuan also round-tripped on the day despite more, and cryptos continue to limp lower. Copper continued its charge higher today. Crude was weaker as precious metals gained on a weak dollar and Fed promises. Oil prices tumbled after last night's API, and this morning's DOE data showed a surprise crude build, but the machines bought the effing dip, as it says. Silver soared back today as the dollar skidded, erasing a large part of the payrolls panic puke. As again, this is just what the article is saying. And gold did run the stops above the payroll sprint before fading back, and gold in yuan erased the payrolls plunge. So summing it all up, it seems Powell and his merry men and women and any non-binary members of the FOMC are not all seeing, and we will have to watch the turn repo rate to see if they really can hold this you-know-what show together through the year's end. And also worth noting is countless institutional investors are buying up physical gold. And I think one of the most interesting things that Powell noted during his address was that interest rates will be left unchanged through 2020. Now, I guess it goes without saying they're not going to be bringing up interest rates in 2020. But to say that they're not going to be even cutting interest rates in 2020, I mean, we are looking at something that is almost unprecedented. Tim, what do you think about the recent memo from the Fed and these claims that, interest rates will be left unchanged in 2020, as well as the dollar dumping and bonds going up? What do you think about all this news in a nutshell?
Well, thanks, Josh, for having me on again. I believe like right around now is probably my anniversary of coming on WAM for the first time. And when I was coming on WAM for the first time, I had mentioned that I thought that there would be cutting rates. And so I actually had a podcast entitled, right around this time last year, entitled When's the Next Rate Cut? Because I thought they were going to cut rates. And the reason I mentioned that is because this time last year, we were on autopilot and rates were just going to go up every 3 months, every quarter. They're just going to go up a quarter of a point, and the Fed was going to sell $50 billion a month off their balance sheet. And I think there was somewhere around a 2%, definitely single digits chance of a rate cut for the entire year. And the Fed said there was no chance of a rate cut this year. So now they're saying, oh, there's no chance of a rate hike. So funny how things have turned. But the key to the story is that they've been wrong. They've been wrong all along. Anyone can go back to what they call their dot plots. What that is the Federal Reserve governors, they all take estimates of where they think the interest rates will be, both in this year, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, and what they call the longer term, meaning right, 4 years. And you can go back to, I'm not looking at it right now, but you can go back to like 2011. We're already in the midst of the financial crisis. And they were saying that by 4 years ago, like 2015, so basically almost 5 years ago, that the Fed funds rate would have been, I think it was like about 4.25% by now. And so what, they got it up to 2.25 or maybe 2.5, I forgot what it was. And now they, you know, ever since last year, they've had to cut rates. And so I don't think they're going to be necessarily, you know, super happy about cutting rates, because cutting rates would be perceived as, you know, helping out Donald Trump, so to speak. And the day Jerome Powell was hired, I was like, this guy is a swamp creature. He came up through the ranks of the Carlyle Group, you know, big globalist institution. And, you know, this guy is not a, this guy is part of the swamp. You know, what are you doing putting him in there? He's going to screw you. And then, you know, everyone criticized me, all the Trump fans, you know, 4D chess, you're not smart enough to understand this. And yet, you know, whether or not
Tim, we see homeless rates skyrocketing, poverty skyrocketing, household debt skyrocketing. And meanwhile, everyone's saying all-time highs about the stock market as the Fed floods fake money into it. I mean, it's everything just seems completely fake to me.
Yeah, it's because what the Fed is doing is they're not directly purchasing stocks yet. But what they're doing is, and I saw this on a Facebook post yesterday, is somebody was accusing them of outright buying stocks. What they're doing is they're creating the environment where their interest rates are so low that then corporations are then using that low interest rates to float a bond for, you know, a few percent here or there. And then, you know, maybe for 20, 30 years, and then they use those funds to then buy back their own stock, which then increases the stock price, because now, even if they're not earning more money, now there's less shares outstanding. So the earnings per share go up. The CEOs, usually most of their compensation is going to be based upon the stock price, and then they're going to make millions of dollars. So they are, or maybe even, you know, tens or hundreds of millions of dollars, or even billions of dollars, depending on the company. But one thing that they said in there is that the dollar was dumping because that the Fed wasn't going to be raising rates next year. I mean, I sort of think that when the rates go up, that the dollar is in even more trouble, because, you know, we are such a nation. We, as you know, everyone here in America is such a nation of debtors, that when the rates end up going up, then there's less of a chance of not only us being able to pay back our debts, but also the government being able to pay back their debts, because the $23 trillion number doesn't include Social Security, which right. also doesn't include Medicare, which is actually a bigger unfunded liability than Social Security. Doesn't include the wars, which, you know, there's just an article that came out about how, you know, we were lied into the Afghanistan war, but no one cares about that. You know, big shocker, I'm sure, to everyone listening today. But it's also the same thing with gold, because people also wrongly believe that when interest rates go up, that it should be bad for gold. And for me, I'm thinking, okay, when interest rates go up, I mean, the common thinking is, okay, well, now you can get paid to hold on to your dollars. And so now gold is relatively less attractive. But for me, it means that you're closer to the ultimate end game. And the ultimate end game is America not being able to pay off its debts. However, if you can just keep rolling over these super low interest rate loans or negative interest rate loans, then it maybe never becomes a loss. And even the great Jeffrey Gundelach, I'm not talking about the great Jeffrey Gundelach, I'm not a huge fanboy of him. But anyways, you know, he has a lot of good stuff he puts out, and he had a podcast or webcast entitled on Zero Hedge the other day. I don't have it in front of me, but it was something to the effect of, if a loan is always rolled over, does it become a loss? And so they're able to roll this over, whether it's on the corporate side of things, whether it's on the public government side of things, whether it's even, you know, not as much on the personal side of things, unless you're rich, because, you know, guys like you and me, you know, if we need to get a loan, you know, it's at like 15, 17, 20%, you know, I mean, obviously not in the house, but, you know, unsecured loans. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you're Goldman Sachs or any of the other big banks, and, you know, you essentially get paid to not even lend money out. And I'm not sure if you want to get into any of the repo stuff and how this affects the bond rates.
Well, there's, please do. I mean, and among many other things, you mentioned Goldman, and they just bailed out, I believe it was SoftBank, or was that JP Morgan? I can't remember. All I know is that there's bailouts extorting the taxpayers to bail out these ridiculous bankrupt entities that defraud people and scam people and destroy lives and create vast poverty, et cetera. And then these entities in themselves are bailing out other entities that are doing the same thing. It's just
like WeWork. So Goldman is bailing out SoftBank, that's bailing out WeWork. That, you know, John Snyson and I did a report on that. You guys can, you know, find that on WAM as well, about all these unicorns. And they're just one of many unicorns. You got, you know, Peloton. I mean, there's so many of these with just terrible business models. And you'd mentioned JP Morgan. A lot of the, you know, people are alleging that JP Morgan was the one that caused this whole repocalypse or repo madness that was going on, where we briefly in September saw the repo overnight lending rate was over 10%. We've got tons of videos where I break down, and John and I, or you and I, would break down the repo. So I don't want to get into every nook and cranny of that. However, what people are alleging is that JP Morgan had a lot of funds in their government money markets, and they reallocated from the government money markets that are classified, basically that can be used, as my understanding, as collateral for the repo securities. And they shifted those assets over to longer term bonds, or longer than, you know, what they were doing before. And so since, and I know there's some articles that even allege that they increased their bond portfolio by upwards of 50%. And so by them coming in and buying bonds, it creates more demand for those bonds, and then can have, you know, different shifts in the bond market as well. But then when it comes to the overnight lending market, all of a sudden there was, you know, this liquidity completely dried up. And so a lot of people were pointing the finger at JP Morgan, that they, you know, that it was their actions that's, you know, what is still causing what's going on today. And I know John, you know, earlier gave me a call, John Snyson, when I was driving home today at one point, and he had mentioned that now the Fed is even doing 30-day repo loans. I mean, and so they went from, you know, strictly overnight to, which first off, the Fed shouldn't even be doing any of this. I mean, first off, what usually happens is, let's say if JP Morgan, let's say, has 11% in reserves, and let's say, you know, Bank of America only has 9, then what they'll do is they'll lend 1%, so that way they both have 10. And so it seems like now JP Morgan has basically scaled it back to whatever the minimum is they need to keep, and so they don't have extra money to lend out to pledge as collateral. And that's really what is people are alleging started this whole deal. And it's something that's way over the heads of most people. But what the most troubling aspect of this is that what would typically happen is that the banks would lend money amongst themselves, and they would only go to the Fed as a lender of last resort. So that Fed funds rate literally means jack. It means nothing, because it's only the rate that you go to when you are in big trouble and nobody will lend to you. So you've got to go to the Fed, except the Fed doesn't want to point out that people are in trouble. And so what they do is they let everybody come to the discount window. So that way we don't know who's in trouble, because if it came out that, oh, hey, XYZ bank couldn't get any other bank to lend to them for less than 10%, so they had to come get bailed out by the Fed, then nobody would then go to that bank, hypothetically, because it's like a big, you know, scarlet letter on you. And and unfortunately, it's now come out that there is a 2-year wait that the Fed is going to impose on releasing any data as it relates to who's borrowing what, you know, how much is borrowed, all the details. So there's no transparency. We're out here left in the dark. It creates all this moral hazard, because right now no one cares about where their money's at, as long as they have underneath the FDIC insured amount or the SIPC in terms of investments. They don't care, because the government's going to bail them out. Even though the FDIC fund is like me and you trying to backstop Bill Gates, no chance of that happening.
It's gotten so out of control. And I want to mention for everyone watching, by the way, you can purchase an F the Fed or an End the Fed shirt at our Teespring store, linked below the video. But just circling it all together, Tim, I mean, you mentioned interest rates earlier, and this is a really big issue going forward, especially considering last time we saw a cut of about 5.5% from 2008 to 2012. The recession was prolonged. It's just papered over with debt. As we go into so many times here at Wham, it's just a propped up system, and the more they prop it up, the more dangerous it becomes, and the more of a beast, a behemoth it becomes, collapsing on the shoulders of the people that are holding it up. And it's just a vast extortion scheme, because people are paying off the interest on the debt. There's so much printing of currency, inflation going up, people are taxed to death, the regulations are crazy, everything just became this slave racket, and people don't understand it, don't know why they're dealing with so much poverty, why they can't afford to put food on the table for their family. It's fraud, it's disgusting, it's sick, and it's another example of complete slavery of the masses utilizing the financial sector. But I have to also add, you know, with gold and silver going up down the line, I mean, you're looking at something that is being, you know, evidently people are, institutional investors and private investors and governments, etc., are buying up gold. And the reasoning is obvious, because they're not stupid. They're trying to back themselves up for the inevitable down the line. All fiat currencies eventually revert to zero, and these stocks are completely manipulated and bubbled. So people are buying gold, and private ownership of gold has hit 50-50 with government ownership of gold, which says a lot about people starting to wake up and buy into things like gold, silver, and utilize it as wealth insurance, not as an investment. And I think that's really important going forward. You know, I was amazed that we saw the Treasury yield curve invert, and now we're seeing, we saw somewhat of a recovery for a little while there. I don't know. I was rather surprised we didn't see everything completely collapse off a cliff at that point, because history has shown us that they seem to correlate quite clearly. Closing this off, Tim, we know what's down the line. We know what's inevitable. We know what's going to eventually happen. But what can people do about it? I mentioned gold and silver. You take clients. You are an advisor. Can you tell people what you would do in this situation or in one of these situations? Obviously, it depends on the individual that you're dealing with as a client. But can you go into what you would do closing this off and where people can find your work?
Yeah, well, I think it's important to realize that the people that are most going to be affected by this are, you know, people, seniors who've saved a bunch of money. Because, if you don't have anything, you've got nothing to lose. But if you are close to retirement, you've got all your money safely in bonds, safely in cash, and I'll say that in air quotes. Right now, you probably have a lot of people out there, a lot of seniors probably have 40% of their money, 50% of their money in, quote unquote, short, safe term government bonds. Well, a lot of those bonds are paying what, like 2%. And so if those are paying 2% and the S&P, even if it's averaging, historical averages, you're looking at a very low return over the next 10 years. I mean, even, people like JP Morgan are coming out here and saying that, we're looking at, potentially a 2%, 2.8% gain annualized over the next 10 years per year, which is nothing. So, if inflation, let's say, is 3 and you're going up 2.8, and that's obviously a super lowball estimate, giving them the benefit of the doubt on that one, you're still losing your purchasing power every year. And so we have different strategies where, we have ways where we can protect the downside to make sure that, if 2008 were to happen again, you're not going to get ravaged by that. And if the Fed money printing goes out of control and now the S&P 500 is up 50%, that you would take advantage of most of that as well. And so it's just a basically, heads I win, tails they lose type situation, unless the market is completely flat. But I don't necessarily think, it's not going to be flat forever. And then there's other products too that pay way more than bonds, in my opinion, are way safer than bonds and also give you upside protection as well. But it's not for everybody. And, it's going to be, usually people that are, a little bit closer to retirement that these types of things would make sense. But there's more than one option for all people. But, the main thing is have a plan, know how much you can spend. If your goal is to retire off $80,000 a year, maybe have someone like me just act as an outside consultant where you pay me, either on an hourly basis or buy a planning package to see if you can do that or how you can hit those goals. And because a lot of people, if you, let's say the difference between spending $72,000 and the difference between spending $80,000 in retirement might mean the difference of you running out of money at 75 versus passing away and leaving a big inheritance. But, if you don't run the numbers, if you don't stress test things, I can stress test bad scenarios, throwing it in there, and then also overlaying different strategies that we have. But, if you don't know, then you don't know. But, I'm a guy that, I've been talking about this for a long time about how, bonds are not a great place to be. And I've had alternative strategies that, have kicked the crap out of a bond portfolio. And I've been having these types of strategies since basically 2009. Yeah. I mean, I started the day Lehman crashed. So, and then was running an endowment fund that my specific portion of it was the financial aspect of it. And I put the entire thing in cash November 2007 on record. So, I was in that fight, to some regard. But, I know how they screw people over. I know all the risks that are out there. And so you guys can also find me at the TDV Summit at Anarchapoco, promo code WAM. We'll have the links below. Josh will be speaking at Anarchapoco. I know John will probably be there as well, so you can see all three of us. Promo code WAM on that. But you come become a client. Because eventually I'm going to be too busy and can't, do these free, initial consultations, but yeah, take advantage of it now. And more importantly, do it before things end up going down.
Well, yeah, absolutely. So people could check the bit.ly link below if you want to get involved, with Tim at the Liberty Advisor. And I just find it so crazy, closing this off, Tim, that, we see all of these medias, the mainstream media is really pumping this message forward that 2020 is going to be a great year. And we're seeing signs of complete mending of any possible, rips in the economy going forward, that everything is healing and everything is getting better, and we could expect a really bullish market and monetary system in 2020. And it's just so irresponsible of all these medias claiming this. I think it's better to be overly prepared than underprepared. So, hey, it might not, everything might not collapse in 2020, and I'm not going to put dates on it because that's not responsible either. I mean, looking back at history, you know, the fundamentals are off the table. So there's no putting dates on an exact crash or when things are going to happen. We just know it's inevitable.
The crash could mean the market goes up a ton, but the average person only, you know, maybe the top 5% of Americans have enough in the market to even matter. And so your purchasing power will crash.
Right.
So this could happen, shake out in many different ways that you don't necessarily think of.
Yeah. And with interest rates possibly going negative in countries all around the world, Trump pushing for negative interest rates going towards negative in Europe, in Britain, in Australia, in so many places around the world, all while they push legislation for bail-in regimes.
The dollar will always be the strongest. And by the way, we need to have negative rates. It's
not fair. I mean, like, when you see them preparing in this way, I mean, Mario Draghi was talking about erasing depositor insurance in Europe. All the while, he's out now, but I mean, all the while they were pushing bail-in regime legislation. And it's like, huh, this is kind of sketchy. I think that it's obvious that, you know, these major institutions and major central banks are getting ready for something. It's quite clear. And you see institutional investors insuring themselves with things like gold and silver, et cetera, as well as even Deutsche Bank talking about buying into cryptocurrency. I mean, it's crazy. You're obviously seeing people try to save their own butts. And remember what Ben Bernanke said in 2007, that the economy was going to be great. It's going to only improve in the near future, down the line through 2008, et cetera. And we're seeing Powell saying there's no reason why we can't see nothing but bullishness going forward, that, you know, 2020 is going to be a great year. And we've heard this before and we'll hear it again. And what's most important for all of you watching to keep in mind is that regardless of what they say or what they do, you should be prepared. You should be responsible. You should be self-sustainable. You should be independent and not be dependent on these people. If you're dependent, if you don't understand your money, then the people who create the money control you. If you understand your money, you have control over your money. You are not a slave. And that is most important. So by the way, for those wondering, we do have another survey going on for this video. I want you to comment below free the money, right? Free the money in the comments. This is a little survey that we do because often people, unfortunately, will watch 5 seconds of the video right after we publish it, downvote it, and write an angry comment.
People have been doing great. I've actually been surprised at how many people have been responding with what we see at the end, and they watched all this. So thank you so much for, you know, putting up with us. I know sometimes I'm long-winded on the answers, but it's because there's so much data points, and Josh and I don't really coordinate a ton beforehand. And also don't let them let a good crisis. They're going to try to use whatever crisis to push through a whole bunch of crap. And I'll be honest, I wanted Donald Trump to win because I wanted things to collapse underneath him and have him be the one to rebuild it, not to have him perpetuate the system, because the globalists, I don't think, want things to collapse immediately underneath him, because then he gets to rebuild it. But if they collapse things towards the end of his regime, then the Democrats get in, and then they get to, you know, then it's going to be social credit score of we're going to save everybody with a new government program.
Yeah, you'll get a technocratic Chinese control grid system like they're trying to unroll in places like Australia.
And you'll pay for it too. So it's our tax dollars that are going to be the ones that are paying for all this crap. It's so old technocracy to begin with.
So the most important thing there is that the deep state is real, folks. And even if Trump did try to rebuild it, I mean, with all due respect, he wouldn't be able to, first of all. Second, he'd get shot in the head by the powers that be. I mean, there's a lot more to the system than meets the eye. And I think it's important to note that the most important solution to all these problems is you. You are the most important solution. If just a small percent of people disobey, the whole system collapses. You don't have to convince everybody. It's good to convince as many people as possible, but you don't have to convince everybody. You have to convince yourself, and you have to take action as a free individual and be independent, responsible. Responsibility and freedom play hand in hand. This is a fraudulent system. It's a slave racket. It's disgusting, and it's time that you stop being a slave. And I know most of the people watching, especially up to this point, are not slaves, and thank God for you that are out there working hard to protect yourself, protect your family, protect your grandkids in the future. That's more important than ever before. But anyway, I really appreciate you joining us today. Tim. There's lots more coming at you here at WHAM. Make sure to join float.app, float.app. I'm at Josh Sigerson, as well as at WHAM. Tim is at The Liberty Advisor, at float.app, the future of social media. And obviously, we're past December 10th. Our time is limited. We don't know when the gauntlet's going to come down, but it could be at any moment. So we need you to help in any way you can, whether it be sharing, liking, finding us on these other platforms, and of course, pledging if you can. We also have a Teespring store below, linked below, which will allow you to buy merchandise, you know, t-shirts, phone cases, socks, sweaters, all sorts of different stuff. So make sure to check that below as well. But anyway, anything helps. We really appreciate you standing up for free information online. So remember to write "free the money" in the comments below. Until next time, thanks for joining us, Tim. This is Josh Sigerson and Tim Pachote signing out from World Alternative Media. Find the truth, be the change. Like what you see here, WHAM, don't forget to check the links below, GoFundMe, Patreon. We cannot do it without you guys. Every donation is extremely, extremely appreciated as we're getting incredibly shadow banned. We've lost 80% of our audience since January of 2019 and counting. They are ripping us apart here on YouTube. And the only thing we could do in the meantime, as we prepare for the next big step, is to ask for help from the viewers that support our free information that we try to post on a daily basis. You can also find us on Subscribestar, where just a dollar a month, that's all it takes, a dollar a month is all it takes to truly make a huge difference. If everyone gave a dollar a month, it would change everything for independent media, and we could win this information war, and we can defeat the mainstream medias eventually. And of course, on Subscribestar, we post subscriber-only content that you'll only see on Subscribestar, so make sure to pledge there, become a patron. That makes a huge difference, guys. And also, don't forget to check out our Bitcoin address below in the comments and description, as well as on the screen for you to scan if you please. And also, don't forget to subscribe to us on the alternatives. We will likely be deleted by YouTube in the next 2 years. It's already happening on a vast scale. So make sure to find us on float.app. That's float.app. At Josh Sigerson, as well as at WHAM, W-A-M. Float.app is replacing every social media, and I mean, it's just incredible the opportunities it provides for not just creators, but for the average person who wants to get away from these nannies telling them what they can or cannot see. They plan to replace Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Twitch, Tumblr, Reddit, and Patreon. You could subscribe to us on Float and pledge with cryptocurrency. It's really innovative. We are also on BitChute at World Alternative Media, as well as so many others. Minds, PocketNet. You can find us at World Alternative Media on Instagram. There's many options. And finally, don't forget to join us at Anarchapulco 2020, the famous event, the best liberty event known to mankind, other than perhaps Anarcho Vegas 2020. There are two major events coming up that we are extremely excited about, and you can use promo code WHAM, that's W-A-M, and save 10% on your tickets to these legendary conferences. There's so many amazing people speaking there. You won't want to miss it. So make sure to support in any way you can, even if it's just sharing our videos, pressing like, pressing to be notified. Anything helps, folks. You are the change you wish to see. Thanks for watching, everyone. And until next time, this is Josh Sigerson signing out from World Alternative Media. Find the truth, be the change.
I'm sure you have already changed people's minds in your young age because you're involved, and I like that.